This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com.
Well, Matt Adams is the host of Fairways of Life on the PGA Tour Network on Sirius XM, also a Golf Channel contributor in many ways. It's a pleasure to welcome Matt Adams back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Matt.
Always a pleasure, my friend. How are you?
You know, I'm pretty good. I hope you're well.
Yeah, cool.
Players Weekend, Players Golf Tournament. I wanted to talk a little bit about the players through the years. It's like 44 years old this year, and many people don't realize how it began, why it began. It used to be called the Tournament Players Championship. Matt, do you know how it got its start, why it got its start?
Well, the funny thing is when you look at the evolution of this tournament from its earliest days, back in the days, you know, Jack Nicklaus would edge victory, which he did multiple times, everybody assumes that it's always been at Sawgrass, that it's always been on the stadium course, and that didn't happen until the early 80s when Jerry Pate was the first to win there, and it wasn't exactly in a celebration that he threw Pete Dye and Dean Beaman, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, into the pond surrounding the 17th. It was more in a retribution that he did that, because if you think the course is tough now, they've had decades to kind of soften things here and tweak it over there and just make it a little bit more receptive along the way. When it first came out, I'm pretty sure it was Jerry who told me one time that landing a ball on the green was like trying to land it on the hood of a Volkswagen. So it's an interesting evolution through all of these years, and through all of these decades, that they ultimately settled at the home of the PGA Tour. And I think it's quite obvious that they used the model of the Masters to say, okay, one course, consistent every year, bring in the best people, pay them a ton of dough to be there so everybody's got the motivation, and bring in, the strongest field in the world and have them slug it out on your home course.
You know, to that point, it doesn't hurt when Jack Nicklaus wins your inaugural event and wins one a couple of years later. That instant credibility for this sort of tournament.
That's true, but I don't think the tournament had the long-term play back then that it clearly has now in terms of where it's going and where its position is in the world of golf. It was important back in the day, and it was an effort by the PGA Tour to start to assert themselves. But when Dean Beaman took over in earnest the PGA Tour, he was the one that had the vision to say, you know what, there are four major championships in golf. We don't have one of them. We need something that was some place, some way we can hang our hat in a tournament and say, no, this is the one that's the most important to us as a tour. He's also the same guy that decided, you know what, there's a Ryder Cup. Well, that's controlled by the PGA of America, not the PGA Tour on the American side. We need something of that equivalency as well. And he started the President's Cup along the way. And then they said, you know what, we've got all these tournaments, the best tour in the world. These are all the actors that are going to make up your stage show that will be these other major championships. We want to have something that will build to a crescendo in our own series of events leading to the end of what is now a wraparound season with the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup conclusion of the season-long competition. So that's where the vision kind of kicks in, and it's been a steady progression towards that. In particular, though, if you had to put a date on it and a place on it, it was when Dean Beaman envisioned the TPC Stadium course and actually built it with Pete Dye and brought the players in and started that march.
It is funny, we take it for granted now, 40-some years later, but it's easy to forget how revolutionary that was. You call it the stadium course, that amphitheater feel. We see it all the time now, but no one was really doing it back then.
No, there were some courses that had it naturally, but I'm not even sure that they realized the significance of what they had, to be fair. So, and there's a number of courses that still to this day have kind of, if you look at like...
Riviera's 18th.
River Highlands.
Yeah.
Where was that?
Riviera's 18th hole.
Exactly, John Beck. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Or TPC River Highlands, where the 18th is very much like a natural amphitheater. There was a little bit of shaping involved in that one. In this one here at the stadium course, it was all shaping. You know what that place was? It was nothing but a swamp. When they went in there and started to push around, they had to knock over all the natural vegetation that was there. Everyone says palm trees, but it was everything. It was a lot of stuff because they were close to the ocean that had big burrs in it. There were stories about when the guys were in there working the backhoes, they had to make sure that they were the kind that had the cages on top, because the water moccasins that would climb in the trees and that would fall and hit the top of the backhoes and then slither on down their way back down to the earth as they were clearing everything out. So when you talk about a stadium course, and you talk about mounding and spectator viewing lines, etc., all of that was built. 100% was the vision of Dean Beaman and the vision of Pete Dye to put all of that together. It's incredibly remarkable.
We're talking with Matt Adams here on the Augusta Golf Show. Matt, do you think, and you don't hear it that much anymore, but there was a period of time when it always got referred to, or they wanted to talk about it being a fifth major. Do you think that hampered its growth in any shape, form, or fashion?
No, I think if anything, it probably helped it, to be fair, but to the point of, is it the fifth major or isn't the fifth major, it's a little bit of a worn-out conversation in my mind. But nonetheless, in earnest and in fairness, I actually think that the PGA Tour has handled themselves correctly with this, because somewhere at some point, sometime, clearly the PGA Tour would love this to be the fifth major of the game, but they've been smart enough to say philosophically, if we go ahead and say we declare it ourselves, or if we facilitate, you know, all these stakeholders getting together, media, whoever it is, and a declaration thus coming from that group saying, yes, we agree now it's a fifth major. What that does is it draws a line in the sand. It's a demarcation point. And we saw it with the Avion, for example, and the LPGA. We saw it with the Women's British, for example, the LPGA. If you won it before the date, you didn't win a major. You win it after the date, you won a major. Whereas if you look at, for example, what Gene Sarazen did when he won in 1935 with the shot heard round the world, the Augusta National Invitational, the historical significance of it was that he is one of the five that has won a career Grand Slam. Well, at the time, he didn't know that he won a so-called major. He won the Invitational that Bobby Jones invited him down to play in. And when Bobby Jones invited you to do something back in the day, you did it. So I think the tour realizes that if they keep quiet on it and let this thing simmer and let the flavors just continue to blend, then eventually, if it's destined to become a major championship, that means it's a major championship for everybody that ever won it. That means mark down Jack Nicklaus for three more. That means mark down Tiger for two more and all the others that have won this thing. But if you pick a date certain and say, as of now, it's a major championship, none of that counts.
Do you, this will be the, well, I say this will be the last time they play it in May, and they move it back to March, and it was in March for many years. Do you like that move, Matt?
I do. I remember it well because I used to cover it when it was in March. The golf course plays very differently. I find that when you have Bermuda that tends to go dormant, and then you get the overseed coming in, the fairways and the surrounds around the green and the green surfaces themselves start to act a lot like fescue, which means they kind of lay down and they run, whereas the rough is still going to be thick and lush because the rye grass, the overseeded rye, it loves the cool nights and the warm days. So the combination of those two things really changes the golf course. And as an example, this is just an aside, you never hear anybody talk about this, but it's one of the realities. It actually brings shorter hitters into the realm of those that can win the championship because they can pop it in the middle of the fairway and run it out there, where the big hitters who hit a long way tend wrong at times, and they can get in trouble getting into that thick rough. So it brings a different mix of competition. I am excited about it going back to March.
Do you think, a minute or so we have left, how much of this was something they maybe always wanted to do and or was this capitulation to we're trying to create this new schedule, this different schedule? Do you think, Matt, they kind of always thought, you know, got it, maybe this should go back to March?
No, I don't think that was the plan. My personal opinion on it. What I think they moved to May because they saw themselves as becoming the fifth major and there was nothing in May. I think for the longest time, Jack Nicklaus and his people viewed the Memorial Tournament as evolving into the fifth major because there was just nothing in May. You got, you know, the Masters in April, then we have a whole break of May, and then we go June, July, August with the other three. So I think it was a compromise where the tour said, look, we want the end of the season to be a flourish with the Tour Championship and the conclusion of the FedEx Cup. And the PGA champion, the PGA of America said, okay, well, if we're going to do that, we're going to move to May. You guys have got to move to March. There's got to be a give and take going on here on all sides. The ironic thing about having said that now is that if the players does continue to evolve to a point where it is roundly recognized as the fifth major, it would be a major before the Masters. And I think that would jar a lot of people in terms of their traditional start of the golf season, and certainly the traditional start of the major season.
He is Matt Adams. Again, the show he does, Fairways of Life, on the PGA Tour Network, Sirius XM Radio. Also, does a whole bunch of stuff for Golf Channel. Matt, thanks for taking the time to do this. I really appreciate it. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
Always a pleasure, John Patrick. Talk to you again.